Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Joy and I were coming back this week from the beach, or last week. We stopped. We're having breakfast in a restaurant, and they were playing some country music. I don't know too much of country music. But someone was singing a song, and the phrase kept sticking out to me because she kept singing, "There's more. There's more." And this morning, I want to talk about the fact that there's more with God. There's a sense in us of, it's eternity. The Bible says God's put eternity in our hearts. And there's a sense in us that there is more. In fact, even when we have success and achievement, you find that oftentimes it can, after you've accomplished a goal, you're like, is that it? They say some of the unhappiest people, people that go through depression, are Olympic athletes that after the Olympics are over, they just realize, is that it? Even the ones who have won medals. Because a sensing of there's more. A sense of purpose, of fulfillment. You know, if you have possessions, you find that if you've purchased a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, if it's new to you, you know, when you first get it, you park it like three counties away. Turn around and look at it when you go, kind of how it looks in the light. And that lasts for a few weeks, maybe a month or so. Then a few years later, it's that old thing. And you realize, that's not making me happy. Solomon wrote something in the book of Ecclesiastes. I don't go to that book often, but there's an interesting verse in there that says, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity." You know, even when you say, you know, if I can just make X amount, I'll be happy. Then you make that amount and all your expenses rise to meet it. And then you're like, well, if I could just make this amount, I'm going to be happy. And it's, when do we ever get there? But if you love money, you can never have enough of it. If you love increase, you can never have enough. I ran into that. First church we tried to start in 1999 in my hometown, we shut it down after a month. When your mother stops coming, it's time to leave. And so we shut it down, and We moved back here to Texas, and 7.5 years later, we started the Ark. And we had 27 people the very first service. But I kept real track of the numbers. And when we reached 100 people, I'm like, we reached 100 people. If we could just reach 300 people, I'll be happy. Well, we reached 300, and I wasn't happy. If we could just reach 500 people, man, we reached five. And then, bless you. And then it was 1,000. And then it was 2,000. And finally, I realized if I'm just chasing numbers. I mean, I want to reach as many people as we can. But if I'm trying to get happy out of how many numbers we have, there'll never be enough. And so, but there's a sense in us that there's more. And when it comes to our relationship with God, here's the good news: there's always more. Our relationship with the Lord, you're never going to reach a place where God goes, that's it. That's all of me you can get. That's it. You'll never reach that place. And so you say, well, you know, Alan, if he wants to have more in my life, then he'll just do it. No, no. Ball's in our court. Paul wrote something to the church at Corinth that we can apply to our relationship with the Lord. He wrote this, and he's talking to the church. He says, make room for us in your hearts. He was talking about the church at Corinth receiving his ministry. He said, you got to make room for us. Evidently, they were starting to shut him down. He said, make room for us in your hearts. Well, listen, if we can make room in our hearts for people, how much more can we make room in our hearts for the Lord? And making room in our hearts for the Lord is something that we can do, but it's also something that's really beautiful, because when you make room for God, you give Him room to move in your life. My mom was the one who was so hungry growing up. She just had a spiritual hunger. And she went and saw the pastor of the church. We were going to a denominational church at that time. And she went and saw the pastor. She said, I just feel like there's more to God. I just feel like there's more. He looked at her. He said, no, there's no more. I'm like, man, that's such a mistake. Fortunately, she didn't listen. And she kept pursuing, kept seeking God. God filled her with His Spirit. He healed her. He did amazing things. And she set the tone. One person with a hunger for God can set a tone for an entire family. And her hunger spoke to us, but begin to teach. There's more to God. Listen, if you think, oh, this is all there is, and been to church, and, you know, I've heard some of Alan's stories, and, you know, there's got to be more. No, listen, there's always more in your relationship with God. If you've been married for any length of time, you find out something new about your spouse. Joy and I have been married for 44 years to each other. And so she told me something a few years ago, about 4 years ago. She told me one day, she said, I hate cooking. I went, wait, what? What? You hate cooking? You're Italian. You can't hate cooking. This is what you do. And for years, she said, Alan, for years, I've cooked because I thought that's what was expected of me. She said, but I really don't like cooking. Now, I'm troubled because I don't cook, which means I'm going to starve. But it was a revelation that I found out something more about. How many of you know you never find out everything about everybody? But how about the God of the universe, the one that created the heavens and the earth and the stars and space, and is so big and so vast, we're never going to come to Him and He'll go, that's it. That's all of me that you're ever going to find. No, with God, there's always more. We just need to make room for Him in our hearts. And that's something we can do. There was a young man who came to Jesus one time, and he really sensed there's more. He was a wealthy man. He was a young man. Matthew said he was a young guy. And man, he came to Jesus because he just sensed, ah, there's got to be something more. Let's read his story here. Now, as he, Jesus, was going out on the road, the young man, came running and knelt before him and said, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one's good but one, that's God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he, this young man, answered, said to him, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, okay, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his words. For the Jewish culture at that time, if you were rich, it meant you were spiritual. And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. This young man was doing everything he knew to do, but he came to Jesus because he believed that Jesus had the answer for eternal life. So he's coming to Jesus, and he's honorable. He kneels down before Jesus, and he's like, Lord, what do I need to do for eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you need to keep the commandments. He said, I'm doing that. You know, Jesus did not stop him and going, no, come on, you're not. He was doing that. He was keeping the commandments. He was doing everything he knew to do. And yet, even keeping the commandments, he sensed there's more. And Jesus gave him an invitation to more. He gave him an invitation. He said, come and have a relationship with me. Come and follow me. He gave him a chance to get close to Jesus, to be one of his followers, one of his disciples. He gave him that opportunity. And the young man, he had an opportunity. He had an invitation. But he would have to make room to make that happen. And the challenge was that the riches he had occupied the biggest place in his heart. And so when Jesus said, hey, come and sell what you've got and give to the poor, he believed that what he was giving up was going to be greater than what he would get from the relationship. You know, Jesus, people look at that sometimes they go, I don't know if I can do that, Alan. I don't know if I can come to the Lord, sell everything I have, be homeless, and just give everything to the poor. I don't know if I can do that. You know, this guy was the only one that Jesus asked to do that. Jesus didn't ask everybody that came to him, but he knew that this guy had something in his heart, that his money was the biggest thing in his life. And so Jesus is like, I think he's heart checking him. You know, Jesus never asked anybody. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. Anybody remember that song from Sunday school? He climbed up in a sycamore tree, the Lord he wanted to see. It's a horrible song. It just sticks in your head, though. Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. He was a tax collector. He was a known sinner. And when Jesus came to him, Zacchaeus, after having lunch with Jesus, he stands up and goes, Lord, if I've ripped anybody off, I'm going to pay him back four times. And I'm going to take half my goods and give them to the poor. Jesus did not look at Zacchaeus and go, no, bro. No. Half is not going to do it. You need to give everything to the poor. No, he only did that with this one man. And this was a heart check. I really believe, this is Alan, but I really believe if the man had gone, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Jesus probably would have gone, oh, that's okay, but just liquidate enough to come follow me. You know, when I was, Joy and I met, she's getting ready to go back to Florida. We met at Clear Lake City. She was only visiting her sister for a couple of weeks when we met, and she's getting ready to go back to Florida. So I gave her a gift before, gave her a beautiful little cross. She still has it with a little diamond chip in it. And she gave me a Bible, and it was a beautiful Bible. And when I took it to church, I set it down on the seat beside me. And during worship, the two ladies behind me were like, man, that's a beautiful Bible. Can I see it? And I let them see it, and they're like, man, this is really pretty. And they gave it back, and I put it down, and they mentioned it again. Man, that is such a beautiful Bible. And I'm sitting there. I'm new to this, right? I'm new back with the Lord, and now I start to feel like the Lord wants me to give them that Bible. I'm like, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not giving this up. And yet I just felt like the Lord kept dealing with me. So like I said, I'm new. I didn't know. I said, okay, Lord, if they mention this thing one more time, I will give them this Bible. In my heart, I'd given it away. That was the heart check. They didn't, and I still have it. So, but it was a heart check. I believe what he was doing with this young man was a heart check. And here's the thing. I really believe if this guy had simply said, Lord, you're going to have to help me here. This is hard. This is bigger than anything I've ever done. I want to do this, Lord. Would you help me? I do not believe that Jesus would have turned him away. You see, there was a man one time that came to Jesus who had a demon-possessed son. He said, Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe. He said, all things are possible to him that believes. The man said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And Jesus didn't reject him. He didn't criticize him. He didn't go, no, well, you got to have more faith. When you get more faith, come back and see me. He delivered the boy's son. If he had just simply asked for some help, Lord, would you help me? The Lord would not have turned him away. But he walked away. When he walked away, Jesus, you have to look at what Jesus didn't do. Jesus didn't criticize him. He didn't condemn him. He didn't look at him and go, rich guys, gosh, you can't trust them. He didn't try to talk him into staying. Hey, please, come back. I didn't mean all of it. He didn't try to talk him into it. He didn't demand that he sell his stuff and come. Listen, forced obedience is never of the heart. God doesn't force. He invites. He gives you an opportunity. Jesus invited him, and he walked away. And we don't like that. Because we like an ending to the story. What happened to the guy? Did he just walk away? Some people have said, well, maybe this guy is Barnabas, who later went out with Paul. Barnabas was a wealthy guy, and he sold some land, and after Jesus had been raised from the dead. Maybe it's Barnabas, I don't think it's Barnabas. Because Barnabas was from Cyprus, and this guy's in the Judea area. You say, well, Alan, what if you're wrong? Well, when we get to heaven, we'll figure that out. But that's a minor point. We just don't like things to end that way. But yet the Lord will let you walk away. I did. But thank God I was able to circle back. How do you get more of God? How do you make room for the Lord in your heart? See, all of us have to do it. And all of us are, you know, constantly having to do it. I'm doing this message, and already I feel like, okay, there's something I'm going to need to set aside. But it's because we never stop growing. We never stop learning, because there's always more with God. So here's the first thing. You got to believe that more of God will be a good thing in your life. I know some people are like, no, Alan, I'm good. Got all the God I need. I come to church. I see you, you know, I come on Sundays. I even come on Wednesdays. Where are my Wednesday people? Right there. And so I even come on Wednesday, but I got all the God I need. Do you really have all the God you need? Or could you use more peace, more joy, more love, more strength, more wisdom, more grace? We could use more grace. Do you have all? Listen, I would rather have desire push me toward God than a disaster push me towards Him. And so God gives us an invitation. It's a great invitation. It's Hebrews 6 chapter. Look what he says. 11th chapter, I'm sorry. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him, God. He who comes to God, here's our invitation, must believe that He is, that He's real, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We got to believe God is. That's my invitation to come. And that if I seek Him, He will reward me. He will not reject me. Now, here's the challenge. I would venture to say almost every one of us in here have had prayers that have not been answered. I've got quiet all of these. Listen, all of us have had prayers that have not been answered, or situations that did not work out the way we were hoping, and relationships or people or children or things or healing, and we're thinking, And in the back of your mind, if you're not careful, the enemy can plant a seed that God is really not that good. And what you'll have to do is you have to stop and go, no. The one thing I'm basing my faith on and basing my confidence in is the God who loved me enough to send His Son is totally good. And I may not understand everything, but I trust that He is good and that more of God is going to be good in my life. And you make that an adjustment that you go toward Him. Here's a second one. More of God. How do we make room for God? The more of the Christian life centers on relationship, not rules. The rich young ruler was keeping all the commandments, but it wasn't enough. If you're keeping all the commandments and you're doing everything that you know to do, you're still going to find out I'm missing something. Listen, a relationship with the Lord is not just what I stop doing and start doing. It's a relationship with Him. He gives us an opportunity to know Him. Just like that young man, he said, come and follow me. That same thing applies to us. Look what he says in John, the 17th chapter. Jesus is praying. He said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. So many Christians don't know that they can have a relationship with God. That it's not just a matter of do's and don'ts. It's a matter of I have a living relationship with Him. And the more I come to know Him, man, the better He gets. When Joy and I were married, we made vows to one another. Some of you have done the same thing. So I made a vow to stay faithful. I made a vow to support her. I made a vow that in sickness and whatever, I'm staying. And I'm going to be faithful. And she's going to be the only one in my life. When I get up in the morning, when I'm getting ready to come to church, I'm not struggling to keep my vows. I'm not struggling going, I'm going to church, Lord. Now, there's a lot of good-looking women in our church. But I'm not going to do it because I made vows. I got a vow. I made a vow that I was going to be faithful. And it's a vow. Listen, you do that, you're setting yourself up for a fall. I'm not doing that because I made a vow. I'm doing that because I have a loving relationship. I love that woman. She is the most important person in my life outside of the Lord Jesus. I used to tell my kids growing up, I said, I chose her. We had you. You're leaving one day. But because of a loving relationship, that's not a struggle for me to be faithful. Because of a loving relationship, it's easier for me to say no. And when you understand that our Christian life is not about no, 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 it's about yes, yes, yes to you, it makes it easier to say no out here. Rules without relationship can yield rebellion. Parents, listen to me on that. Your relationship with your children helps them with the rules and keeping the rules. If there's no relationship, it will breed rebellion. Here's the last one. A clear heart makes more room for God. You ever gone out and looked at your garage and go, Lord, we need more room? Well, you got two ways you can do that. You can add on to your garage. That's going to cost you something. Or you can clear out all the stuff that's just accumulated there. I don't know about you, but it's amazing how stuff just over the years, it just formulates and then finds itself into the attic, into the garage. But when you clear it out, you make room. In the same way, clearing out our hearts makes room for God. And when you make room for God, you give God room to move in your life. You say, well, what do I need to clear out of my heart? You know, I've been walking with the Lord a long time. I don't have to clear anything. No, we're always doing that. We're always staying clear. And Jesus, in the parable of the sower sows the word, Jesus tells us what to clear. Three areas to watch for. Look at this. He says this, the seed that fell among thorns represents others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message or the word is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. He's saying that the worries of life can crowd out the word. Well, if it can crowd out the word, it can crowd out God. I know this has maybe never happened to you, but I've gotten up before and I really need to spend some time with the Lord. I sit down and my head starts thinking of 1,000 things I need to do. And before I know it, I picked up my phone and it's over, because then you're scrolling and you're checking email. You're like, what? And you're texting somebody back. And the pressure of life and the busyness of life can crowd into our hearts, and we have to look for ways we can go, you know what, I'm going to set some of that aside and spend time with God. The other one is the lure of wealth. Jesus called it the deceitfulness of riches. So what's the deceitfulness of riches? The idea that money will make you happy and make you safe. It will make you happy and make you safe. So Ellen, are you for poverty? Absolutely not. I have been poor. Joy and I had a time, we were in North Carolina, we barely had enough to feed our family well. We barely had enough to pay our bills. I never once looked at her and went, this is awesome. I hope we stay this way for the rest of our married life. That was not awesome. It was a curse. I am glad for a God who can help us and bless us and bring us into abundance. But it's not what's going to make you happy or make you safe. You're thinking, man, if I can just make X amount, Lord, I'm going to be happy. You make that amount and you're like, I'm not. And so, Lord, I know I said this amount, but I really need this amount. And you can just chase it all your life. And then the other one is desire for other things entering in. Single people, listen to me just for a second. The desire for relationships. And man, if you're in a relationship that's wrong, then you really need to take that before the Lord. Say, help me. Because I got a relationship that's not good. You say, well, Alan, you don't know, Alan. You're married. You don't know. Oh, no, I've been there. When Joy and I met, I had given up on a relationship and moved away from it that I knew was wrong. You say, what's a wrong relationship? If it pulls you away from God, you're in the wrong relationship. And Joy, before she met me, was dating a guy. He's like, 6'4", and he looked like a Viking, and his parents were rich. And she was going to marry that guy. And before she did that, though, she sensed something's not right. She prayed. She said, Lord, I want your will, not my own. She gave him up, and look what she got. Guys, here's the thing. We have to believe that we're taking stuff out of our life, whatever we're clearing out of our heart pales in comparison to what we'll gain from the Lord. I'm going to say that again. Maybe it didn't hit. Whatever we give up pales in comparison to what we gain. Weeks before we started the ARC, I got a phone call. I was a sales rep. Got a phone call, a client that I really liked. He called me, he said, Alan, we got a job opening here. He said, do you know anybody that might be interested in this? He said, you can make about $250,000 a year. This was in 1996. You know what that is in today's money? Over $500,000. I said, I might be interested. And I went and talked to him. Man, it was, you talk about something in my sweet spot. I would be the national sales manager. I'd be traveling all over making presentations. I can make presentations. I'm like, this is good. And I'm already spending money in my head. I know none of y'all have ever done that, but I'm already thinking about what I'm going to do with that. But then I'm also thinking about how am I going to do that and then have the church. And so that idea stayed with me for about 2 days and it left me. He called me 2 weeks later. He said, are your knees sore? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you said you were going to pray about this. I haven't heard from you. It completely left me. And I realized even though that money was so good, I was willing to give that up and say, Lord, I'm willing to pass on that. And look what I got. Here you are. We got a chance to know one another. And we have a chance to have a relationship with one another. Man, you can't purchase that with money. So whatever you begin to take out of your life, listen, God can make up the difference. I was in college. I was away from the Lord. I was out of fellowship with Him. I'd broken up with a girl I thought I was going to marry. And I woke up one morning and these words just came to me. Now, this is a guy who's not even walking with the Lord. I've got plans for your life when you decide to live them. I've got riches and wisdom, and I'm just waiting to give them. So when you yield to my will and let me determine what's best, then your life will abound with love, joy, and rest. Love God. I remember reading that going, whoa. I shared that with my roommate. He said, you're smoking dope in the morning? I said, no. This is from God. God, even though I had walked away from Him, wanted me back. Maybe you've said, the price is too much. I can't live this Christian life. Listen, if you trust Him, whatever you give up, I promise you, He'll give you so much more. Because we're talking about eternal things. Starts with a relationship with Him. Starts with just simply saying, Lord, I'm going to let You be the Lord in my life. I'm going to make room for You. Would you bow your heads for a moment? If you're here this morning and you say, Alan, I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord. I'm not sure I have a relationship with Him, but I want that. Or maybe you're like I was and you had one and you walked away. Maybe the price was too much, or maybe the party life or whatever was pulling on you and you just walked away from the Lord and you're thinking the Lord's so mad at you. He's not mad at you. He wants you back. So we're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front, but this prayer is for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around, but I'm going to ask you one question. If that's you that I'm talking to and you want our prayers, I just need you to do one thing. Would you just lift your hand and wave it at me and say, Alan, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Now, maybe you're sitting there kicking yourself going, I should have lifted my hand. Listen, you can still pray this prayer from the heart. It's a heart prayer. We're going to pray it with you. If you're online, I can't see you, but this is a prayer for you. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with other people, pray it quietly. We're going to pray it with you. Here, as a church family, say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Now, heads bowed just for a moment longer. Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer. For the ones who've come to You and the ones who've come back, we rejoice with them. And Father, for those of us who know you, who've walked with you, show us how we can make room in our hearts for more of you, more of your spirit, more of your strength, more of your grace, more of your love, more of your wisdom. Show us how, and we'll give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.